Well, the UN Security Council meets today. The topic there, North Korea. The meeting comes at the request of the U.S. over concerns the North might escalate its missile tests, nuclear talks are stalled, and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un sent an end-of-year deadline for American concessions, or the lifting of sanctions, to get them restarted. Last Saturday, North Korea announced it had conducted a test of, in its words, great significance. That action followed a series of missile launches. On Monday, Kim called President Trump heedless and an erratic old man after the president tweeted that Kim has too much to lose if he acts in a hostile way. Jim Walsh is here, a security analyst. He's with MIT's Security Studies Program in the studio with us. Jim, what are you hearing about what's going on?
Well, I was in Washington last week and had a chance to talk with current and retired U.S. officials, and I think they are of a view. While they keep hope alive, hoping that something else will happen, I think they have concluded that North Korea will, between now and sometime in early January, break the freeze-for-freeze agreement, engage in a provocation. The betting money, the inside money, is betting on a satellite launch, long-range satellite launch, as sort of an interim first move. A satellite, even though it would be for civilian purposes, would be carried up into space by something that looks very much like an ICBM or a long-range rocket. Not exactly, but close. And so that'll be interpreted negatively. So I think we're looking in the near term at a revival of the North Korean-U.S. nuclear crisis, or at least an opening gambit. And then they'll do that. And that's the overwhelming expectation. They'll do something big. And then the question is, what happens? Does that descend into crisis? Does that lead to a decision to have negotiations that lead to a good outcome? You know, there are pessimists and optimists who hold different views.
Well,
about that.
I mean, and why would it lead to negotiations that lead to a good outcome? You know, that doesn't seem like it's so. We're left with potentially a crisis and potentially the U.S. reacting. What happened here? Because this was such a bromance. Kim wrote President Trump beautiful letters, beautiful letters. What happened?
Well, I think a lot of things happened. If I was going to point to one thing, and of course we don't know the North Korean thinking on this, so it's hard to explain it without being able to know more about their strategy. But I think Hanoi, the collapse in Hanoi, definitely had a negative impact on this. And I would give, you know, blame to both parties on this. The North Koreans have basically refused to engage in serious negotiation for quite some time. The U.S. Special Representative has directly and indirectly passed on messages that they're willing to meet at the working group level. They did meet in Stockholm. That did not go well at all. The U.S. had new proposals, and they just don't seem prepared to negotiate. It may be that either Kim has given up on the whole enterprise, or he thinks he can get Trump to – he may think that Trump is weak. He's going into an election. He starts off with a satellite missile launch, you know, bad, but not terribly bad. And then that escalates from there to a nuclear test or even an above ground nuclear test.
Well, how much is this? Because this has always been, you know, such a complicated, almost impossible situation. And President Trump actually thought, he expressed it, that he could befriend this man. I mean, they go to the DMZ and he doesn't let John Bolton, you know, his hawk anywhere near that decision because the hawks were all up in arms over it. You know, you were not his friend.
Yeah.
Is that what we're seeing here, that, you know, President Trump completely misread the situation? And also, Kim Jong-un might feel neglected because the president's pretty busy.
Well, he's going to get a lot of attention if things go the way everyone expects them to go. I supported the president's initiative to try top-down rather than bottom-up leader-to-leader talks as a way to jumpstart a process that might lead to some outcome. And we did get freeze for freeze, which was a freeze in our military exercises and a freeze in their nuclear and long-range tests. But that was the high water mark. And I think both sides, there's reason to blame both sides in the intervening 3 years that each missed opportunities to really carry this forward with momentum.
Well, in your, you know, expert opinion, what should happen now?
Well, well, I hope no one overreacts. That's the number one thing. I don't think anyone will overreact. I think maybe the North Koreans are overestimating their leverage here. There's a lot going on here in the U.S., of which this is just but one issue. So I don't know how much pressure it really puts on the president. But I think, what concerns me is if you go into a crisis and you have a broken national security apparatus, right? Some people are missing from the process. Others are in acting capacity, not in full capacity. People haven't focused on this in a while. I do worry that mistakes can be made. But I don't think North Korea wants a war. I think they prefer Trump to the alternative. They think they can get a deal with him. Those are conditions that hopefully will allow us to skirt by without a mistake that leads to, you know, Yeah. No real problem.
Yeah. Look, just a few seconds. We saw Kim riding on a white horse up a sacred mountain.
Yes.
What do we make of that?
Well, that's the second time, though, so it's not a 100% predictor. It's that and everything else. Remember, the North Koreans have announced denuclearization is off the table. They said they're refusing to meet with anyone. They've said all this stuff. It's all pointing in the same direction.
Jim Walz, here now, security analyst. Thanks so much.
Thank you.